Passion Translation, thank you to our praise team. Thank you to our band. Thank you for taking us ever so consistently into the presence of God. We are grateful. Ephesians chapter 4. And we're going to begin at the first verse. The Apostle Paul is talking to us, and he says to us, as a prisoner of the Lord, I plead with you to walk holy in a way that is suitable to your high rank. Ooh, walk holy in a way that is suitable to your high rank. In other words, don't profess one thing and don't profess you're walking on one level and live in another level. But walk holy in a way that is suitable to your high rank, given to you in your divine calling. With tender humility and quiet patience, always demonstrate gentleness and generous love toward one another, especially toward those who may try your patience. Woo! Especially to those who may try your patience. Another translation for that is especially to those who stretch you. He goes on and he says, be faithful to guard the sweet harmony of the Holy Spirit among you in the bonds of peace. Being one body, one spirit, as you were all called, all of us were called, into the same glorious hope of divine destiny. All of us were called. So today we're going to begin our subject, our series called Squad Goals. I'm going to break that down for you in a moment. But what I really want you to hear is I love all the translations, but I especially love that third verse in the King James, because it says endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bonds of peace. If you have a squad and you have goals, you have to have unity. If you don't have unity, you'll never reach your goals. So today we're going to talk about that, and I know you're going to be blessed. Spirit of the living God, have your way in this place. I ask you, God, to get into our inner ear. Lord, help us to hear this word on the inside. Not just for our neighbor, not just for our friends, but Lord, allow us to hear it personally. Allow us to apply every bit of it to our life as an individual so that we can be better as a team. Speak to us today, God. We open up our heart to your word. Say whatever you want to say. Somebody's marriage, somebody's family, somebody's team needs to be fixed in here today. And we're asking you, God, to walk among us. Shine your light on what needs to be healed, what needs to be forgiven, what needs to be touched. And when it is all said and done, we'll thank you for making us stronger for your kingdom. In Jesus' name, somebody say amen. On your way down, hit somebody, tell them squad goals. I hope you have them. So we're talking today about our squad and our goals, and creative team got together and started talking about having this. Before I could preach it, I had to look it up and see what it meant. So I'm like, squad, okay, what does all of this mean? I looked it up and I love it because it's like, I know what it meant, but the language of this generation, the way people change things, it'll make you think you don't know what they're talking about, but you know. Okay, because a squad is just a small group of people that have a particular task or have a particular assignment. They are a small group that have come together and engaged in a common effort. It is also a tactical unit that is easily directed when they are out in the field. Words that are related to squad are an army, a gang, a team, teammates, team players, posse. See, I knew when I said posse, everybody would know. Oh, that's what that is, posse. Your staff, your tribe, your group, your family. those that you do life with. So what does it mean to what are goals? Goals are the end toward which our efforts are aimed. Goals are the intent. Goals are the target. They are the mark. They are the purpose. They are the very thing that you are taking aim at. You know that you have won when you've hit the target that you were aiming at. So a squad goal is what you would like your family, or you would like your team, or you would like your tribe, or you would like your gang, etc. You get the idea. What you would like them to accomplish. So the first thing that we need to do, you should have your notes today that they gave you. But the first thing that we need to do, and don't do it right now because you're going to miss half of what I say, but you can do it when you get ready to go home. The first thing that we have to do is we have to identify our squad. Now, if I were to say for my squad to come up here, let me say it like this. There are lots of squads in your squad. Okay, there are, say your squad is your family. It's those that you do life with on a daily basis. But then when you go to work, you got a squad. And then, like in my family, I could push all of the adults out, and my grandkids are my squad. So there's a lot going on there in your squad, but you have to identify them. And I've on your notes, I made a place for you to write the names of your squad. Write the names of your teammates, your family, and your tribe. What I want you to do, and I want you to practice on first, is I want you to practice on your family, whatever that consists of, you and a husband, you and your children, you, your auntie, your uncle, whoever that is, those people that have the most influence in your life. And I want you to identify the goals that you want to go after. I'll explain that a little bit more later, but if I were telling you some of the goals that I think are important for my family and for probably a lot of you, but you don't have to use my goals. I want you to use your own. But for me, I would say if I were going to identify some of the goals, it would be number one for my squad to always have the blessing of the Lord on our lives, because we can't do anything without that. Maybe I shouldn't say we can't do anything. We could do some things, but we can't do everything without it. And we cannot be what we need to be without it. I learned a long time ago I needed God. That has been one of the the greatest things that happened to me. Look at somebody, say, I need him. He's not a luxury in my life. He is a necessity in my life. I've learned that I needed him when I didn't have a dime. Now that I got a dollar, I still need him. If I get $10, I'm gonna need him. If I get $20, I'm gonna need him, because I've learned that in him I live and move and have my being, and so I really need him. So to me, one of the biggest goals is I want my squad to understand that we have to have the blessing of the Lord, no matter how good and gifted you are at what you do. You can be good, you can be gifted, you can be talented, you can sing, you can do everything that you do so fabulously. But I'm going to tell you something. One little thing can happen in your life, and it could strip you of what you think you are so good at doing. Oh, yes, don't act like it can't happen. It can happen so fast. And in those moments, you begin to realize, God, I took that for granted. I don't want to take nothing for granted. I want people to know that if it had not been for the Lord, who was on my side, I wouldn't have made it. So I need his blessing. Well, another goal for me would be that we have an authentic unity. Not a fake unity, but an authentic unity. An authentic unity where we can come together at the drop of a hat, and we can join hands, and we can pray, and we can see God move. Another goal for me is that we have love that is unconditional. I'm not talking about the kind of love that just says, I love you, but I'm talking about the love that is unconditional, that goes, even though I don't understand you at times, I still love you. Love keeps no records of wrongs done. How many of you know we're guilty of keeping a record of the wrongs that are done to us? But when you really love somebody, the Bible says love keeps no record. Look at somebody around you, tell them, let it go. Another goal for us is that we would have an authentic trust. There's a book that is called The Speed of Trust, And as you read the speed of trust, you begin to understand that you can move quicker and you can move faster when you trust the squad or the team that you are working with. Why? Because you're not second-guessing everybody's motive and everybody's agenda. And you understand that everybody has your best interest at heart. They have the team's best interest at heart. Another goal for me would be genuine forgiveness. I mean forgiveness. And you know what? That is not just something I pray that we have. It is something that we have to have. We have to be able to forgive people. If we can't forgive them, it will ultimately slow us all down. You got to loose it and you got to let it go and forgive. What if they never apologize? It doesn't matter, because it's not about you and them. It's about you and God. You got to say, Lord, that was wrong. You know it's wrong. But instead of me holding the grudge, I'm going to put it in your hands. And I'm going to love you and I'm going to praise you and ask you to help me love them. And I'm going to let it go. Another goal for me would be to have an as a squad, to have an authentic passion for God. I cannot run around and motivate my squad all day long. Hello. Can y'all hear me in the house? I feel like my mic's changing. Or at least the audience is changing. I don't know. Something's happening. I cannot do what I've got to do. I can't play my role and stay in my lane. You'll not get the best and the highest use of me if I'm always running around trying to motivate everybody to be on fire for God. Now, come on, y'all better help me right here. I'm getting ready to make it personal to you. I can't do what I do as a pastor and worry about, are my ministers going to be here? Are my elders going to be here? Is the greeting people going to be here? Is the children's ministry going to be here? How about the audio video department? Are y'all going to be here? Is everything going to be on point? Now, there are some pastors that do that. I'm not one of them, because I don't want to die early. It ain't nobody worth it. I ain't going to kill myself over it. Make your calling and election sure. If God hasn't appointed you to be here, get out of the way, because you're taking somebody's seat. I'd rather have 50 that knew that they were where God put them and doing what he called them to do than to have 5,000 that were just, in and out and up and down, and you never knew anything about them. Yes, amen. And you ought to want that for your team. Whatever the goal is, you ought to be passionate about it. And everybody on the team, that's my prayer. Lord, keep my family passionate about the things of God. We also, another goal for me is to have the liberty to speak the truth in love. Not just truth, because you can say truth. But if you don't speak it in love, I said, if you don't speak it in love, you might as well not say it at all. But we ought to be able to speak the truth. We ought to be at some point in God. You have to know where your squad is at. But there, we ought to be at some point. I know for my squad, we ought to be at a point in our lives with God where we can look at each other and say, you know you're wrong for that. You know you're wrong for that, and you're messing the whole team up. Y'all ain't gonna help me. I don't care. You're wrong. That's wrong. That attitude is wrong. You ain't got the spirit of the house. You ain't got the spirit of the tribe. You ain't got the spirit of the squad. I need you to go somewhere and get it together, or I need you to get off the squad. Because this squad has got things to do, places to go, people to help, assignments to do. But we know what we do. We tolerate, we tolerate, we tolerate, we tolerate. And every day that we tolerate, what we're doing is we're procrastinating, and the enemy's foothold gets a little bit stronger. And in the meantime, we get exhausted, because it breaks us down. And you'll never get the best and highest use of me if I'm having to run around and motivate you. Not just motivate you to love me, but to motivate you to love what I love. Hello? Cleaning. The clean up woman. Woo, what made me say that? Woman, thou art loosed. I'm talking about the liberty to speak the truth, not just your opinion. Whatever you're speaking, make sure you're speaking the truth. Make sure that it lines up with the word of God. Hold your squad accountable. I said, hold your squad accountable. Not only the liberty to speak the truth in love, but the liberty to be open to receive the truth in love. We are so bad about being so quick to defend ourselves. And then those that really love us try to get out there and defend us too. Bishop Jakes told me one time we were all sitting around the table talking as a family, and somebody said something, and I tried to intervene just because I felt like I knew what they were trying to say and I wanted to make sure he understood. He said, don't, no, let him do it. Let him talk. Let him do it. Don't get in between. Don't defend nobody. See, that sometimes that's the greatest thing you can ever do. Stop trying to defend everybody. They need to hear the truth. They need to open their heart to the truth. That's not always easy. Sometimes you got to go home and pray about it, not stew about it. Not let it go over and over in your mind. Well, I don't think they should. Well, I'm going to tell you right now. And then we always look for somebody to take our side. And that's the worst thing in the world that you can do. Because they start feeding in to the mess that's going on in your life. And when they feed into your mess, it starts justifying it in your head. And you get worse and worse and worse and worse. I must be preaching to y'all, because if you know anybody that I'm talking about, holla amen. Amen. See? But that's the truth. We need to be able to speak the truth in love, but we also need to be able to open up and receive the truth in love without running to find somebody to take our side. You know who you need to run to? You need to run to your prayer closet. And say, God, if there be any wicked way in me, if there be anything in me that's causing me to miss the mark or mess up this team, I am asking you to move it out of me. Wash me, purge me with hyssop that I might be clean. Wash me that I might be whiter than snow. Another goal for me would be to slay selfishness. If there's any hint of selfishness, I want to be after it. Because you can't be selfish and work in the kingdom of God. Let me tell you something. Whatever God has for you, it is for you. I said, whatever God has for you, it is for you. You ain't got to fight to make it happen. You ain't got to try to make your name great. You ain't got to try to take the credit for what other people are doing. In your team or on your squad or in your posse, all you got to do is do what you do. And I promise you, I am a living witness. I can preach this because I have lived this and I continue to live this, that what God has for you, it will be for you. Another goal for me is that we would pursue our purpose as a squad, as a team, or what we might would call the corporate man, that we would pursue our purpose. I understand that God has given us all individual purposes, but when he pulls you together, there's something that he wants to do that is humongous. There's no way in the world he would pull five strong people filled with purpose and us sit there and have to fight over whose purpose we're going to pursue. Let's lay it all down and find out what the corporate purpose is. And if we'll pursue that, God will bless us in our individual lives. Another goal for me would be to protect each other from the pitfalls that we could find ourselves going down in. It's a shame when you can see a hole and know somebody on your team is about to step in it, but you won't speak up and help them. It doesn't make you look good and them look bad. It makes the whole squad look jacked up. Another one for me would be to live under the umbrella of peace. Peace, there's nothing like it in the whole wide world. Let me tell you that your squad, your team, your tribe, your family will never be awesome by accident. It will never be awesome by accident. It will never be blessed by accident. Somebody along the way has paid some kind of price for the blessing that is on your family today. That's why I can't get right here and say, "Ooh, look what my hands have done." Because God could shut everything up just like that. The Lord's done it, but he's also done it through generations of people that have come behind me. Listen, I'm wearing this little pink jacket. It's the pink jacket my grandmama prayed for. She didn't get it, but I got it, proving that he may not come when you want him, but he will be on time. Hallelujah. I didn't get where I am. You didn't get where you are on your own. We got here because somebody put some work into it. Somebody did something that caused God to bless your life. We are blessed. I'm blessed today because I understand what unity means. The reason that we can leave a church in North Carolina where my husband is the bishop and I'm the pastor and we can come here and he can walk away from what we have birthed, but yet that was his baby. He was the king there. But for him to be able to walk away and come here is because we have an understanding that it ain't about you, it ain't about me, it's about our corporate purpose. It's about what God has called us to do. Because when it's all said and done, it don't matter what people that are looking at us say. It matters that when we stand before God, he says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many. Woo! Unity is vital. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of the garments, as the dew of Hermon that descended upon the mountain of Zion. For there, that place of unity, there is where God commanded the blessing, even life evermore. It is there that he anointed. When he saw unity, he anointed it. He ordered the blessing. It is in that unity that he commissioned the blessing. He directs the blessing. Go there, go there, go there. He willed the blessing to be on our unity. He summoned down the blessing. He demanded the blessing to flow in your direction or in my direction. He'll say, no, not you, not you. No. Not her, the lady behind her, the man over there, not everybody, but the ones that understand unity. I will command. Well, there's nothing like living in a commanded blessing of God, because you can go to bed and not have answers, but you know that you know that you know when you wake up in the morning and you need it, you will have it. I live under a commanded blessing. I'm talking about the blessing that makes rich and adds no sorrow. I'm not talking about the blessing that you have to labor for, that you have to toil for, that you have to hook and crook and connive to get. I'm talking about the blessing that makes you rich, that means wealthy, and adds no sorrow. The NIV says it like this: the blessing of the Lord that brings wealth without painfully toiling for it. Look at somebody, tell them, that's the one I want. That's the one I want. Well, in order to get that one, in order to get the commanded blessing, the blessing that comes without the painfulness of unnecessarily toiling for it, then we have to dwell together in unity. Will you just look over, touch somebody, and tell them we got to get it together? Unity does not mean that we just stand close to each other. Because you can have people standing close to each other and them hate each other. Unity does not mean that we are simply near one another. But it means that we are also dear to one another. It means that I care about what you care about. It means I cry over what you cry over. It means if you get a victory, bless God, it is my victory too. If you put the devil under your feet, it means I'm putting him under mine too. Why? Because we're dear to one another. A few years back, Sydney and Isaiah were at my house and they were fussing at each other, just like a little brother and a little sister do, and just fussing. I was trying to get them to stop fussing at each other. They finally calmed down. One went one way and one went the other way. And then Isaiah fell or something. I forget at the moment what happened to him, but something happened to him and he fell or whatever. But I know he let out this huge scream. And when he let out the scream, Sydney took off flying to follow the scream. She followed the voice. She beat me to the voice. not because they are biologically related. That's great. But there was a heart connection that made her say, what's that? Where is he? I got to find him. Maybe he needs some help. Maybe I need to get him up. Maybe I can get him out of something. And that was an instinct because she was connected to him at the heart. If you can't, if you can hear your brother or your sister, your team, your posse, your squad cry out, and there's nothing in you that says, what's wrong? Something's wrong with that. I said, something is wrong with that, and you need to go somewhere, fall on your face, and say, God, deal with me. There ought to be something in you that says, oh, no, no, I can't. It's a heart connection. Why is a heart connection so important? Because the heart connection is what enables us to bear all things, to hope all things, to believe all things, and to endure all things. And you can't do that, and you can't go the extra miles that life will require for you to go if you don't have genuine love and genuine unity. And loving your brethren is not an option. It is a commandment. By this shall you know that ye are my, that this shall they know that you are my disciples. You got people you can't love? I question you. Are you really a disciple? And God is so serious about it. He's so serious about unity that he would rather you go somewhere and reconcile with your brother than to bring your worship to him. Did y'all know that? Matthew 5, 23 and 4, 24, he tells us, if you have a problem with your brother or if your brother has a problem with you, don't you come up here and bring your gifts of praise and worship and shouting and hallelujahs and all of that stuff. He said, I'm not hearing that. You go out of here and you make that thing right. Then you come back. Oh, that would kill a lot of people's worship today. There'd be a lot of quietness in the room. But God said, I ain't hearing it. I don't want it. Go get it right. As a mother, you don't want your kids individually coming to you. I love you, Mom. I love you, Mom. I love you, Mom. And you know that behind your back, they're killing each other. You don't want that. God don't want it either. He said, get it together. Then you come back and tell me how wonderful I am. He loves unity. You know why he loves unity? It's because he's looking for somewhere to drop a blessing. You understand that God is El Shaddai. Woo, he is more than enough. He's the breasted one. He has more blessings than he knows what to do with. And he's walking around looking for somebody, for a squad, a family, a team. And he's like, I need to drop some of this. I need to drop it. And if he can find anybody who is pulled together, who is united, who loves one another, who has their mind set on purpose, who knows how to forgive, he will drop a bomb on your house, a bomb of blessings on your house, a bomb of blessings that some of us could use. Somebody slip up your hands and say, come to my house, God. Can I tell you, this is why the enemy fights our unity so much. This is why he fights us so fiercely, because he understands that a house that's divided against itself cannot stand. It doesn't say it will not stand. It says it cannot stand. It is not capable of standing. It doesn't have the resources to stand. It doesn't have the state of mind to stand. It doesn't have the favorable circumstances coming together to support it. That is why Ephesians 4 and 3 says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit. Somebody say endeavoring. Endeavoring. Endeavoring means, and I love that it says endeavoring, so it's more than just a one shot. Look at somebody and tell them we might have to do it over and over and over again. Endeavoring. To endeavor means to exert oneself. It means to make a physical and a mental effort to find answers. Endeavoring. To keep the unity of the Spirit. Why do we have to endeavor to do that? Because if we don't, our house cannot stand. It cannot stand because we are divided. And that's exactly what the enemy wants. So we have to exert ourselves, exhaust ourselves, trying to find ways to keep ourselves united. One little thing goes wrong and we're like, I quit. That is not endeavoring. That is not what the Bible says for. That's not what Jesus died for. That's not the family that he died for. Don't tell me you are a believer and you're in the Lord's army and you won't even fight for your own house. Endeavoring to make a physical and a mental effort to find answers. How dare you have an answer that your tribe needs and you sit on it? Jesus, I'm feeling something in here today. How dare you? How dare you know what is needed at the moment and yet you sit on it when you know your squad is looking for it? Maybe that's why your prayers ain't being answered. Holy Ghost, help me in here because ain't nobody else going to help me. Ain't nobody going to say nothing, but I ain't scared of nobody. Bye. You can tip out right now if you want to. Bye. Endeavoring means again and again and again and again. That means I can't be passive about it. I've got to be aggressive. I got to be diligent. I got to be prompt about it. And it's not just my job to keep it. It is your, tell somebody, it's your job too. It's your job to keep the unity of the Spirit. Quit looking at one person thinking they're the ones that's got to do it. And you can just freely come into the posse, into the squad, any way you feel with any attitude you have, whether it's negative or whatever it is, and say, oh, it's okay because pastor's going to work it out. The boss is going to work it out. Shut your mouth, okay? It is time for you to keep endeavor, to keep the unity of the Spirit. I'm tired of being a shield. Shields get shot at. And if you shoot enough and I get in front of you enough, I'm going to be bullet riddled. Then what you going to do? Because you need me in your life, whether you know it or not. Paul said, thank you, thank you for my help. Paul said in Ephesians 4, I therefore the prisoner of the Lord. He said, I ain't playing about this. He said, I'm a prisoner of the Lord. I'm sitting in a prison cell for this thing that is called the gospel. I've given my life for this thing. I ain't playing church. I'm going to die for the cause of Christ. But before I die, I'm begging you that you walk worthy in the vocation or in the invitation to salvation that you were called to. Walk worthy of this thing. If you've been called by God, walk worthy of it. Walk worthy of the call. Don't say you're one thing and live something else. Walk worthy of the call. He said, and do it with all lowliness. That means quit being so prideful. Your pride is ruining you. Walk with meekness. That means I'm meek, but it doesn't mean I'm weak. I'm meek. I'm not weak. Okay? Meekness is to be strong enough to do it, but wise enough to sit still. Yeah, I can take the trash out. I could do it. I have done it. I will do it. But if there's a man around me, can you take this trash out? I'm the weaker vessel. Sometimes that verse comes in handy. Walk worthy of your calling. You have been called by God to do what you do. You didn't just stumble into that calling. He opened the door and he made a way for you to do it. I'm just gifted like that. Oh, shut up. You're not just gifted like that. He gave you the gift to do what you do.
And if you start holding up his program, he will push you out of the way and give somebody that's got a greater gift than you to the squad. You better be careful. I'm just warning you. Who you warning? I don't know. If the shoe fits, wear it. Woo. Endeavoring with all lowliness, with all meekness, with all long suffering. They're getting on my nerves. I'm telling you, they're getting on my nerves. Well, go to your prayer closet, pray. My father-in-law, woo, he's the prayingest man you ever met in your life. I was so frustrated with him growing up in his church because I loved him and I knew he was holy and I knew God had anointed him. But he always would just say, well, let's just pray about it. Let's just pray about it. And I'd be so mad because I want him to get up in their face. And I wanted to stand behind him while he was in their face. And I'd be going, yeah. Now what you gonna do? But God never let it work like that. He was long-suffering. I don't mean you can't make decisions. You have to make decisions. But I guess it was something in me that was trying to push him, so he automatically was be like, I ain't moving. Because you need to learn. Endeavoring with all long-suffering. Forbearing one another. Forbearing one another. In love. Love, love, endeavoring to keep the unity. Look at somebody and tell them it's yours to keep. It's yours to maintain. It's yours to protect the unity, to guard the unity, to keep your eyes on the unity. When you see the unity is disappearing, it is something in you ought to rise up and say, oh, no, 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 come back here. Let's work this out. Don't let it get away. Tell somebody, don't let it get away. Don't let it get away. Tell your neighbor, we can't let it get away. We can't let it get away. We cannot let it get away. We need a full military line, shoulder to shoulder, that's prepared to fight, to guard the unity of the Spirit. Why? Because we need the blessing. Look at somebody and tell them, I gotta be blessed. I got to be blessed. Well, I'm blessed. I'm blessed anyway. Really? I'm glad you are. But let me tell you something. If God's assigned you to be part of this squad, you're blessed because you're in this squad. You know why God has blessed me? You know why we came to this city and we put up a church and we didn't have to go through all of the little struggles that startup ministries go through? You know why? Because I was a part of a greater squad. It's called the Potter's House. I got a bishop that paid a price. And by virtue of association, I'm blessed. I'm blessed in the city, blessed in the field, blessed coming in, blessed going out. And I will not be quick. I said, I will not be quick to disconnect myself from something that God has connected me to. Because I know what it's like to suffer. And some of those enemies, I don't ever want to see another day in my life. I got to be blessed. Where there's unity, you'll find strength. You'll find energy, you'll find energy, you'll find energy, you'll find energy to do it. You'll find resources when you got unity. Little becomes much when God gets down in it. What makes God get in it? When we come together, because where two or three come together touching and agreeing. He said, there am I in the midst. When God gets in the midst, you will find resources that you did not even know that you have. Where there is unity, you'll find the time. I said, you'll find the time. You'll find the time to help people. You'll make the time to help your posse. You'll make the time to help your squad. I won't have to be tiptoeing around the tulips asking you to do something because I'm scared how you're going to react. I ain't got time to worry about that. Just get it together. Get it together or get out of my squad. I don't know why I'm saying that, but I'm saying it today. And you ought to say it too. You know why? Because we got things we got to do. You got people you got to reach. You got businesses that you got to build. You got people that are dying, going to hell in your own family. Your family needs to be able to come together and bind every power from hell that's trying to take your mama, your daddy, your brother, your sister, your auntie, your uncle. And if you're young, you got kids that are watching you. And they will do what you do. Don't worry about telling them what to do, because they ain't going to do what you tell them to do. They're going to do what you do. And when we come together as a team, as a squad, as a family, when we find out there's a cause, when we left North Carolina, when Bishop asked us to move, it was like everything went into motion. Everything started spinning. One of the kids said, I'm going to do this. The other one said, I got that. The other one said, I got that. It was the most beautiful, perfect picture of a squad with goals you ever seen in your life. We were up and out of there, all of us, not just me and him, but they all owned homes. They all had families. And it was just like that. God pulled us out of it. Because everybody was in their lane doing their thing. In the meantime, I was running back and forth doing Bible study at the main campus. I'd preach there on Wednesdays, go back home, love the sheep, sometimes preach there. I was free to do whatever I was doing. And God let the anointing rest on us. Next thing you know, we clicked our heels and here we were. We opened up at the Allen Event Center on that Sunday morning. I don't know if anybody is here today that was there. Some of y'all were there. We were a church right then. Right then, we were a church. I said we were a church right then. We were a squad right then. At that moment, the devil hated us. He hates us for sure now. You know why? Why did we come together? Because there was a cause. Look at somebody and tell them we need a cause. We need a cause. We got a cause. You got a cause. We got a cause. You have a family to raise. You are not just raising your children. You are raising the next generation. You are raising somebody's pastor. Do you hear me? You're raising somebody's preacher. You're raising somebody's prayer partner. You're raising some woman's husband. You are raising the next church member. You're raising the next elder. You're raising the next entrepreneur. That's who you are raising. And if you ain't got kids and you got grandkids, you're still raising them. Your influence goes to them. There's so much to be done. Songs to be written, music to be published. There's men and women to be discipled. And people sit here and say, I don't know what to do. I'm going to have to go somewhere where I can be used. Really? How about you just labor right here among us for a little bit? Let me know what your heart's desire is, and you be faithful, and I bet you I find somewhere to plug you in. I will plug your tail in so fast. Once I get to know you. But I gotta know you. And know you ain't just coming for 3 years and sitting here. No, I'm talking about knowing you. I look out there, I can count on you. Your hands will be raised. Your heart will be open. You will be saying amen. Why? Because you got the rhythm of the house. Look at somebody and say, there's a cause, there's a cause. There's hurting people to be helped. There's people that's dealing with human trafficking right here in the city of Frisco. There's so many things that we need to get our hands in. There are families that are being torn apart. So much to be done. However, division is divisive. Division is destructive. And we cannot tolerate it. Look at somebody and say, don't tolerate it out of your squad. That's why we don't have a bunch of different visions here at the Potter's House North. One of the biggest reasons that we don't have that, a whole bunch of different visions going on, is because I don't want division, which is different visions pulling us in different directions. I don't have 25 different things going on here, and you have to decide which 25 am I going to be a part of. No, we can have a vision that serves a multiple in a multitude of ways, but we cannot have a multitude of visions. Hello? You know why? Because that's called division. Let me tell you something. A kingdom divided against itself cannot stand. A kingdom divided, let me tell you what it doesn't mean. It doesn't mean a kingdom that's fighting. It just means a kingdom that's being pulled in different directions. So we have the appearance that all is well. But underneath, behind the scenes, somebody's pulling this way and somebody's pulling that way. You got a ministry idea over here. You got a ministry idea over there. Your dream is this. Your dream is that. And secretly, you're working on your own dream. And you've given that priority over the squad. I'm just telling you, look in my pretty blue eyes with eyelashes on. God will never bless it in the long term. He'll never bless it in the long term. And ultimately, it will result in a house being divided. That applies to your home. That applies to your job. Don't be undermining people on your job. Don't act like that don't matter. Don't act like you can undermine people. Steal pencils and papers and toilet paper from your workplace. Take it to your house and come in here and worship on Sunday. God's got your number. And if you just praise him and get your heart clean, he'd enable you to buy your own pencil and your own toilet paper. Never underestimate the power of unity. Well, I've heard this before. I've heard this, Pastor Brady. It's not about how many times you heard it before. It's about how fresh are you operating in it right now. That's what it's all about. And whenever you compromise the unity, you are disqualified for the blessing. Look at somebody and tell them, let's fight for it. Let's fight. No, y'all just whimpered at that. Let's fight for it. That's what I'm talking about. Let's fight for it. You ought to love your squad so much that you'll fight for it, that you'll tell devil, you are not getting in my squad. I bind you in the name of Jesus. We got things to do, places to go, people to speak to. We got chains that got to be broken off of people. How dare you think you're going to get up in my squad? Hit somebody and say, fight for it. We have an incredible opportunity that is in front of us. But if we don't come together in our squad and fight for it, it's not going to happen. But if we ever do come together and touch and agree, supernatural power will sit down on a natural family and watch and see what God will do. Paul and Silas could have complained. They could have complained and decided, we're just going to sit here and whine about what happened to us. But instead, they decided to come together. They decided to unite and they decided they would sing. And when the foundations of the prisons shook, everybody that was in there went free. You know why? Because those two decided to come together to touch and agree. And when the corporate man, when the squad comes together and touches and agrees, breakthroughs happen. When the squad comes together and the squad leads in worship, when the squad plays, when the squad greets people at the door, when the squad runs the camera, when the squad preaches, when the squad of ministers minister, when the squad does it, their contracts end up being signed. Whew. Doors begin to open. Things begin to move. Lord, help me, Jesus. If we could ever get one group of people in one place, in one mind, and in one accord, that's when the day of Pentecost was fully come. That's when there came a sound from heaven as a mighty rushing wind. Some of your homes need the sound of heaven to blow in. I dare you to come together with one mind, in one accord, opening up to the truth, opening up to honesty, opening up to integrity, opening up, not hiding anything, but coming together, because if if we could come together like that, demons are going to tremble. They're going to fear. Drug addicts are going to be set free. I'm telling you, drug dealers are going to drop what they got. Suicide spirits will be arrested. Injustice in our nation is going to crumble at our feet if we could all come together in the unity of the faith. If we could ever stop fighting one another and pulling back one another and holding on to one another because we are so scared that you are going to get 1 millimeter ahead of me. Let me tell you something. I've watched God take my life. I've been through rejection. I've been in circles where other people have just went way ahead of me. And I've watched and I've stood there and I've cried and I've thought, Lord, if you're going by seniority, hello. God said, don't worry, baby. I'm going to send them back for you in a minute. Woo, I can worship right there because it's been true. God, I didn't realize that God wasn't letting me, it wasn't just that God was putting them in front of me. He was pulling me back because he was going to thrust me. So you know what I started doing? I started buying their books. I started buying their product. I started sowing seeds into their ministry. I'd go to their website and sow $500 seeds that I really couldn't afford to sow, but I sowed them by faith. I was going to celebrate them and let them have their day because somehow I just felt like, God, that was right. And if I do what is right, you will honor my life. And God kept pulling me back further and further and further. I didn't know that he was getting ready to let me go. And when he did, I was going to shoot past everybody and everything. Cheryl, I didn't get over here and be like, yeah. No, I got over here and I thought, how can I help you get where I am? That was my heart. Because if one wins, we all win. Don't believe the lie of the devil that says I gotta cut my way through here and get my own. No, come together as a corporate squad, corporate family. Because when you do what you bind on earth, it's bound in heaven. What you loose on earth is loosed in heaven. Because wherever two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I. Oh, in the midst of that. I want you to shake hands with three people and tell them, I need some help. I need some help. I need some help. I need some help. The devil is fighting my home. He's after my son. He's after my child. He's after my mind. He's after my marriage. I need some backup. So this ain't no time for a family feud. This is time for us to unite together because the devil is after somebody's child. He's after somebody's grandson. He's after somebody's granddaughter. He's after somebody's business. This ain't no time for us to fall apart. This is time for the squad to come together. Pull on somebody and tell them we're coming together. Bind us together, Lord. Bind us together with cords that cannot be broken. Bind us together, Lord. Bind us together. Bind us together. In love. Why? Because if one of us can put 1,000 to flight, two of us can put 10,000 to flight. Oh, what is that about, Pastor Purdy? That is about the corporate man. That is about the squad. Look at somebody, tell them we're better together. We're better together. We're better together. We're stronger together. We're more influential together. We are better together. Yes, we are gifted individually. Make no mistake about it. But when we all come together, Is unity easy? No. But we have to endeavor. That means you have to look at your squad. And you got to place a bigger emphasis on what we do agree on than we place on what we don't agree on. Because what unites us is so much greater than the little fox that's trying to divide us. We can't get the blessing like that. And let me tell you something, and I'll quit with this, but sometimes a life is at stake. I said, sometimes a life is at stake. I've told this story before, but I'll tell it briefly again. Bishop was in the hospital. He had surgery. It kind of backfired his kidney. We found out that while he was in there that he only had one kidney. Wasn't much to that one kidney that he had. And he did something in the surgery and it caused his kidneys to fail. His kidney to fail, the only one that he had. And caused his kidney to fail. We had been at the hospital taking shifts. He was in intensive care. The nurse came in and said, I think it's all right if you want to go home for a little bit. I said, I don't know, it was like 4 o'clock in the morning or something. I said, I'm going to run home and I'm just going to take a shower and I'm going to come back. I went home and I got in the shower and my phone rang. I grabbed a towel, got out of the shower. I said, hello. And it was the nurse from the emergency room, and the intensive care. She said, Ms. Brady, his kidney has completely failed. If something doesn't happen here in the next few minutes, she said, we're going to have to do some kind of a something. I don't know what it was. Something. And so I said, okay. I just got home. I just got home and got in the shower. And it was like 4:30 in the morning. I stepped out of that shower. I put a robe on. I went to walking through my house. I hollered upstairs. I told my kids, girls, come down here to the living room. Here they come, hair everywhere, kind of like mine right now. Everywhere, just, yeah, yeah. My mama was there. I went and woke my mama. Mama, get up! My sister Kay and her husband was living in my basement at the time because they were building the house. I went running down to the basement. I said, Kay, I need you to get up. Tom, I need you to get up. We all came together. I said, I need y'all to come to the living room. I said, guys, we need a miracle. And we need it right now. I didn't mean to wake y'all up. But I know that when we pray together that we have power. We joined hands in the living room. Start praying over that one right there. We just prayed that God would intervene and give us a miracle and do for us what we couldn't do for ourselves. That he would blow the mind of the doctor, that he would blow our mind, that he would blow Bishop's mind, that he would just cause everything to begin to function. We prayed. I got my clothes on, ran to my car, went back to the hospital. When I got there, Lord, I don't know what they were doing to him, but they had him turned upside down. I mean, he was on a bed. His feet was in the air, and I was like, I don't know. I still can't tell you what they were doing to him, but they laid him down flat. Yeah. Yeah, a preacher friend of ours called us. He said he had been praying for us. And just even at that time. So I walked back into the hospital room. Here he is, tipped upside down. That's a sight to see. Head over heels. They laid him down flat. And I just looked at him and I just touched him. Next thing I know, all of a sudden we could hear, we could see urine coming down that tube. I ain't never been happy to see so much urine in my life. But when that happened, I called everybody. I said, we got a miracle, y'all. We got a miracle. I can't explain it. All I know is that God did it. And that doctor said, that's a miracle right there. I said, you better believe that's a miracle right there. You know why? Because we came together as a squad and we touched and agreed. I couldn't call away. wake Bishop Jakes up in the middle of the night. But I did call my family and I woke them up. Sometimes, see, you gotta have some praying power in your own house. You ain't always gonna be able to get Pastor Jeremy, Pastor Tina, or anybody else, Pastor Travis. But you gotta have something on the inside of you that says, this is what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna get a strategy. This is what we're gonna do. We're gonna join hands and we're gonna pray and we're gonna see God move. And you know what made that prayer so powerful? Is that it was packed with genuine love. It wasn't fake, it was genuine. And in the time of need, my brother and sister, you're gonna need somebody that loves you. Loves you enough to get out of the bed and cry and call your name out before God. Unity releases supernatural power. That's what happened for us. I'm gonna close today. I still have a lot to say, but I'm gonna quit. Because I feel like God's got the point across. I want you to take that paper. I want you to go home and I want you to give me one of them. I want you to identify your squad. Write their names down. I want you to identify your goals, the things that you want to accomplish with that squad. And then, before you go on to number three, I want you to call all of that squad together. I want you to get in a room, and I want you to tell them, I think you're part of my squad, are you? If they agree, awesome. If somebody don't agree, scratch their name off. Don't mean you don't love them, don't mean you don't pray for them. But we need unity. We need unity. Pull them together. When you get together, I want you to start identifying the goals. Compare your goals to their goals, to their goals, to their goals. Put them all together. You might have 25, but some of them may be the same, and you might scratch them out and narrow it down to 10 goals. And then I want you to talk about how you're going to identify the strategy. That moment for us, It was simply us coming together in unity and in prayer. Now, it's not like we just woke up and said, hey, we're united and it feels so good. No, we had been praying together. We had done life together. And because of that, in the time of trouble, we were able to come together and attack that thing. Still to this day, he came here with just a percentage of his kidney working. Still to this day, it shocks his doctor that he has been going to hear for 8 years that it hasn't gotten any worse, that it just maintains. Thank you. That's your homework, okay? You identify your squad. You identify your goals. You identify your strategy. I want you to do that. And in this series, I believe that God is going to touch us and he's going to help us. And we're going to see some things accomplished. Things that we've been laboring about, praying about as individuals. We're going to be able to see them accomplished because we're coming together. Everybody stand with me all over this building. With every head bowed and every eye closed. If you're watching.